Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast. No race the weekend just gone, but we all know what's coming up this weekend. Don't we, Niren?
It's Vegas, baby.
Nice of you to come back, mate. It's been a couple of weeks off.
I know, Sorry about that, everyone.
How you been, man?
Been on holiday. Good.
What you been up to? What you been cooking?
Refreshified.
Ready. Yes.
To go. I've been off and about. Couple quadrant shoots here and there.
Nice.
Riding a tricycle down a mountain in Wales, pretty much in the rain.
As you did.
Pissing it down. I don't know why we thought going to Wales in November was a good idea, but
that's like where they train the army, isn't it? Like, they've got loads of army training in Wales because of how bad the conditions are. And you were like, you know what? That's a great place to make a video.
Yeah, exactly. Nice and relaxing.
Well, you needed the R&R, I'm sure, before this weekend's Vegas Grand Prix.
Indeed. Yeah, man. Honestly.
How are you feeling about it, mate, first and foremost?
I'm excited. You know, and I know the sort of the purists of Formula One kind of like seeing what's happening in terms of the entertainment value, you see what the product is going to be here at Vegas, and they're going, oh well, you know, back in my day it was just bloody racing. But I like that element. I like because there's so much hype around it. I know it's probably because it's the first Grand Prix, the first time I'm going there. It was like Miami last year, but I'm seeing people over there. I'm genuinely like, man, I wish I was there, mostly just to be in Vegas, remember when the fun stop. But It's that level of hype that I've not seen at a new track probably ever.
I think,
and that's why it's exciting, man. There's so many different things you're gonna experience this weekend just because it's Vegas.
I think the hype around Miami was not as much, but similar.
It was
probably like 50% of the hype of this, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of it. Like, obviously, Miami hasn't ended up being a great race. I think the restriction, if we're talking about the actual motor race itself, which is why we're all here. It's been a bit disappointing. And I think that's maybe fed into the cynicism a bit. I think if Miami had been really good and been a pleasant surprise to a lot, because a lot of the noise around it was exactly the same noise in terms of the cynical perspective, is like, oh, we're just here for money, which of course that is why we're in Miami. Let's not try to beat around the bush. But I think if that had done better, I think there would be less cynicism around it. But at the same time, you know, say back in my day, when we raced in Vegas, we raced around the little car park, didn't we?
Yeah, that seems crazy, man. You've got such a glamorous place or such an eccentric place like Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That really sums up like olden day Formula One, I think, where they were just like, you know what? We've got a location here. We've got fucking Las Vegas. Where should we do the track? Car park, mate. Yeah, fuck it.
You can put a car up anywhere in the world. There's nothing redeeming about a car park.
It could be
the Sainsbury's in Kidderminster.
It could be in Dubai. It's still a car park. Just the cars change, you know?
Yeah. I think the way they are doing it to actually utilize the strip, if you're going to have a Vegas Grand Prix, this is how you do it.
You have to do that.
You have to do it.
You have to play off that. You know, have you seen the curbs and they've got like the
I like that.
I like that.
Nice little touch.
They've got the spades, the clubs, the arts on them, which I like is them. Sick. I like that.
I like when tracks do that. Austria does that with runoff areas in red and white. Brazil does that with yellow and I think it's yellow. Or is it green? I think it's green and yellow.
Yellow, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Nice little touches. But yeah, I think, look, Vegas, I want it to be good. Of course, I want it to be good. F1 are running this event themselves.
Yeah.
So again, most events, F1 is essentially the one getting paid, almost. You've got the promoter, so say for pretty much every single race, you've got a promoter, say Silverstone, for example, who they are stumping up the money and then hoping to make that money back in terms of ticket sales and stuff sold, whatever. F1 have put, we know it's over 500 million. It's probably a lot more than that. It's only going out. F1 are putting their own money into this. There's no promoter. There's no Vegas promoter. They're putting a lot on the line, which I think does explain to an extent.
It's a gamble, you could argue.
Yeah. This guy's good.
Sorry about that.
This guy's good. You know what? It is a gamble. And I think that explains why, you know, we've seen. Look, we can't expect to go onto the official social media accounts and of the teams and F1 and all that and then to be really cynical about the race. Of course, they're going to hype it up, but they're even more incentivized to hype it up, right? Because they've signed up for this for 10 years. So if this race doesn't work, there's a problem.
10 years of pain.
What defines to you a successful Vegas Grand Prix?
Honestly, just a race that I can look back on. Because over the hype is there, the extravagance is there, mm-hmm. all of that sort of jazz. That's going to be sick. Mm-hmm. You have a sphere, which we'll talk about, and, you know, and whatever you've got. The fact that it's on basically, in essence, a Saturday night, all that jazz, it's going to look and feel exciting just from the outside stuff, right? So then all that really needs to happen, they're going to put on a good show, but then I need to see a race that I look back on and go, that was at least like a 7 out of 10.
Mm.
Or see some potential. I remember when we first went to Baku and it was a shocker.
True.
The first race we ever went to Baku was appalling, but I think the what's it called, the support races went there as well and just fucked up the base. It was just crashes all over the gaff. Didn't know what it was, like, whatever.
It's often the case.
And that has been the case ever since
in
F2. I just need to see some potential.
Mm.
And I think there should be, because, you know, you look at the track, it's straight, massive straight line. Mm-hmm. Corners, massive straight line. There should be overtaking opportunities, providing DRS isn't too overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
There should be an opportunity to keep the pack quite close together and see some level of good racing.
Mm.
I don't see why not. But that's what I think will define a success. Because again, you know, that even this year, you look at the hype about Miami in comparison to last year. To me, it was just another Grand Prix already. And that was just off the back of one bad 100%. Race. Vegas, slightly different. I think people would give it a little bit more time because, again, it's even more of an experience and more entertainment off the track. And it's even more unique than Miami, which is just, in essence, a kind of a track that's kind of just been built in Miami. Vegas has...
Kind of in a car park. Like,
yeah, right, well, yeah. Around the stadium. In essence, yeah, it's around the stadium. Whereas Vegas is the strip.
Yeah.
You know, which has even more, like, value.
It would be like having the race in Miami Beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I would probably give it a bit more time if it was... But again, Miami just sort of already kind of faded into that just...
Yeah.
The track now.
That's a good point about Miami, actually, because I feel like... You know, I went last year and obviously going there and seeing it yourself and, you know, you got that experience that very few people are going to get. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people watching at TV. So when we had the most recent Miami Grand Prix and I'm watching it on telly, I'm not getting any of that magic of Miami. And I do wonder how much of the Vegas magic they will be able to kind of show on the TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make it really stand out relative to one of the more... I don't know, like a Monza. I think Monza does a good job. They do a good job of really capturing like the Tifosi like hype.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he does a really good job of that. So that's why I'm interested. It will be definitely a challenge for the broadcaster to like make this show look as good as it should look. Because a race in Vegas, like on paper, in terms of a street circuit, anywhere in the world, you've got to say that ticks like the most boxes, surely.
Yeah, sure.
It's like the most artificial place in the world.
Yeah. They have crafted the entire place and the track. I mean, even the track you kind of look at and go, yeah, they've made it like this just to make sure that there's a lot of overtakes, surely.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's
fucking...
Are we just going to get DRS overtakes? That's my worry, right? Because like no one's tested there. This is the first time at the track. There's a lot of concerns around, like they've just have had to re-tarmac it all.
Temperatures as well.
It's going to be like 5 degrees Celsius, maybe.
Wavy. It's going to snow. The first ever snowy Grand Prix in Formula One history.
Snow in
Las Vegas.
Snow in the desert.
Yeah.
Bring the snow. You know what? I wouldn't put it past Vegas.
Yeah, honestly.
You know, when Bernie Ecclestone used to say about sprinklers, that's the kind of shit that like Vegas promoters would pull just to drop it on. But I don't know. I think that there's rightfully concerns around like the tyres and the temperature, especially that. Do you see that quote from Ross Brawn?
No, what did he say?
I'm paraphrasing, but basically didn't even consider that it would be cold.
Oh yeah, no, I did see that. Yeah. That's absolutely wild. There's probably about 3 things that you check when you book a date in the calendar of like, right, there's going to be a Formula One race there. One of them has to be the weather. Surely you've got to look at the weather forecast or like the last couple of years and go, right, is it going to be like warm? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be pissing it down? Like, you wouldn't go Malaysia in like, because it will just flood every year.
You know, like WikiHow, right? And you go like, facts about the desert I didn't know. The first one's always going to be, it's actually really cold at night,
yeah,
by the way. Like, that's just normal in the desert.
In every desert ever.
You could have asked anyone who lives there, just one person. What's it like at midnight in November?
Yeah,
bloody Baltic, mate.
Yeah,
thank you. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't say it quite like that.
Bloody Baltic. In Vegas. Fucking freezing or Fucking hell.
The great exodus of Brits over to Vegas. Yeah, no, yeah. I think that, there's rightfully concerns around that. I think part of it for me is it comes back to the whole tire blanket argument. You know, like teams and drivers don't like the idea of taking the tire blankets away because the tires would be too cold. And it's the driver's job to get temperature in the tires and drive within the limitations. We talked about this after Australia. Remember when everyone was shunting all over the place?
Yeah.
And drivers were like, oh, we shouldn't have done a standing reset. I was like, you're responsible for the car.
Because things happen doesn't mean it's like, oh, well, that's why we all binned it, mate. No, it's your job not to bin it.
Exactly. You know the limitation. You know you've got low tire temp. So I'm not so concerned about that. I don't think it can be as 2005 Indianapolis.
Yeah, facts. It's going to make for some unique things that are happening in the race, like undercuts and stuff. You know, when you get out of a pit stop or whatever, it's going to be unique in comparison to
it's the softest range compound tires wise. Okay. But you know, obviously there's been a lot of focus on stuff outside of the actual racing, and just wanted to, this is crazy, right? Talking about the price, and we've actually seen a lot of tickets being now sold for big discounts.
Which
is a bit concerning. Yeah. I'd be pissed, man, if I bought a ticket at full price like 6 months ago.
And
now I'm seeing it
80% off. Like,
look at my money. You know, you see something go on sale just after you buy it.
Yeah,
and then you return it and buy it again.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that.
That's a shout, actually.
It's a good shout.
If you bought a
thrifty Tomo, mate. I'm a thrifty boy, all right?
Selling your ticket for Vegas on Debop.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I'm definitely not exorbitant enough to spend $5 million on the Emperor package.
Right.
So what this includes, right? This is the Emperor package for the Vegas Grand Prix. 5 nights at the Nobu Hotel Sky Villa at Caesar's Palace with 10,300 square foot, 3-bedroom space. 10,300 square foot and he's only got 3 bedrooms. That's a bit mad. Which contains a terrace overlooking the strip for 75 guests. What's the maths? 75 divided by 5. 5 million divided by 75. You can do the maths.
Doing it. I'll tell you that for free.
And then you get Chef Nobu himself.
Yeah.
Right. Hosts a private dinner for 12. What about the other 63?
I was about to say, well, what happens to the rest of them then? They just stay on the balcony.
How do you work out who gets them?
Yeah, what the fuck? Yo.
You just do rock, paper, scissors.
63 people just go macking. That's outrageous.
I mean, the Mackies will be a bigger portion.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oof.
Around the clock butler service. Maybe the other 63 get the butler service.
Yeah, maybe.
Personal driver with Rolls Royce for the stay. 12 tickets to the Paddock Club to take it. Again, why only 12? What about the other 63, man?
Yeah, that's well harsh.
You know what, though? To be fair, if someone else was paying for it, I doubt they'd be splitting it 75 ways. So I wouldn't mind just sitting up and getting the view from the balcony, you know?
Yeah. Just chill out. You guys go do the paddock.
You go
to Mr. Nobu. I'm just going to order in. I'm getting delivery.
And you also get 2 tickets. So again, the other 73 are like, what's going on?
Yeah.
To watch the weekends with Adele. She's doing her little, she still does her little, what do they call it when some musician stays at Vegas and does like a...
It's like a residency.
That's almost. It.
Yeah.
Cher did one for like... Well, she's probably done one for like 20 years.
Cher.
Do you believe in life?
Bang. What a woman. Hang on a second. Just circling back there.
Go on.
Is that it? Is that the end
That's all you get for 5
million, bro.
No, that is crazy, to be fair.
That's insane.
That is crazy.
5 million's like, imagine you've got Silverstone tickets. Yeah, you're looking, I don't know, is it 500 these days for a Silverstone ticket?
500 million, yeah. It's bad.
Yeah, probably, yeah. 500 million. But like, if we're scaling up like a normal Formula One event,
yeah,
to fight, even just the base level Vegas tickets were being quoted like 10 grand for like certain things. 5 mil. And I get to see Adele. I might get food from Mr. Nobu. Depends if I get chosen. Might not. Might get the paddock. Might not. Might just be chilling on the balcony.
The numbers aren't... You've got about a 1 in 5 chance.
You've got a 1 in 5 chance of it still not even being worth it.
It's like 1 in 6.
Yeah. I'm not seeing Adele because it's 2 out of 75. So it's the guy that booked it and then maybe his wife or something. So I'm not going. I'm watching it on TV in the hotel room.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like... I wonder how they priced that. Like, what should we charge for this? 2 million... 4... Five.
Round it up.
Five. Well, no, this
just,
is
that, that's just like it's targeted though at super rich people.
Oh yeah, yeah. With people
give a shit about money, like
5 million is like 50 quid.
Yeah,
like
imagine Jesus Christ.
Imagine that life, man. Honestly, look,
the life.
Yeah. It will be interesting. I hope anyone who's going this weekend, because I know I've seen a bunch of, yes, obviously there's a lot of celebrities and high profile people, but I know a lot of people did also get tickets.
Yes, yeah.
So I hope the event delivers.
I hope it's good. Everything don't you spend want. £5 million on it, please. But if you do, enjoy Adele, if you get chosen out of the 75 people.
And if you do and want to sponsor the Last Lap YouTube channel.
Yes.
With maybe just set aside, you know, maybe a tenth of that, you know, half a mil. You could do a bit with that.
Yeah, yeah. Facts. Yeah. If anyone wants to put, yeah.
Half we'll a put mil your table. Face down here.
Yeah, yeah.
Prime spot.
Any billionaires out there, we will just literally slap your face on the set for half a mil. There you go.
I don't know if we'd want to put any billionaire's face on there, to be honest, mate. But anyway.
Probably not.
What would be your like dream venue? Because we know, remember that there's that classic interview of Lewis saying Miami was his dream and Ricardo saying Vegas, which I'm glad that Daniel's actually going to get to do this, because obviously at the start of the year, it was like, oh man, he's going to get Vegas, but he's not in a car.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's his dream and he's just,
Where would you, how would you answer that question? Where would be your dream?
Dream location.
F1 location. Yeah. And I want a full like picture of how that race would like, where it would be in that location.
Oh, that's actually a difficult one, you know. Nottingham.
Yeah?
Round the Victoria Centre, mate.
That's it.
Round the back.
Yeah, okay.
Up the street, there's like a Marks and Spencers. You got like a nice little elevation change.
Okay, yeah, that's important.
Got tram tracks there as well. So that adds a little bit more spice in terms of like...
You get very slippery in the wet as
can
well.
Can get very slippery in the wet. Yeah. So might cause severe levels of degradation, you know, driving over tram tracks the entire time. Unprofessional, should have... what else have we got?
Would you call it the Nottingham GP?
Yeah, I think you'd have to call it the... I think you'd have to name it after one of the nightclubs there.
Okay, yeah, nice.
All Robin Hood. The Robin Hood
True.
Grand Prix.
The Robin Hood,
the
Grand,
Robin
Prix.
Hood Grand Prix.
Still
from the rich.
By charging exorbitant ticket prices.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then redistributing the wealth amongst the local community.
Yeah, exactly, across Nottingham. There you go, boom.
I love that.
My actual answer, however.
Really? That wasn't your actual answer?
No, that was a good answer. We actually developed that quite well. You know, like point evidence explain in school. We developed that for 10 marks. That was good. I want to, obviously, I'm all for the inclusivity of the sport. I want to see us go to even more like locations or different continents. We don't have an African Grand Prix. Realistically, the only option there is probably South Africa and Kailami, because it's just not the infrastructure at the moment for other tracks across the continent. I think my dream would be something like, I'd love to see another Pacific sort of Grand Prix, like Fiji or some shit like that.
Fiji would be mad.
But picturesque and just fucking wavy. And it's like an actual experience if you're going there on like holiday.
The Mauritius Grand Prix.
Oh, bro. Oh yeah, like the African islands as well, like Maldives or some shit. Yeah. Oh man. Even the Caribbean. Just like a holiday destination that's got like blue seas and that would be such a unique experience for a Formula One race.
Barbados Grand Prix?
Yeah.
Home of Zay Maloney?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, make it happen.
Yeah.
That would be wavy. Barbados Grand Prix.
That would be crazy.
That is so unbelievably far, I feel, from like happening or like being on the radar of happening. But that makes it even better. I would absolutely love that.
I remember rumors about a Pacific Grand Prix in like Colombia.
Oh yeah, technically, because there's technically a part of Colombia that's the Caribbean.
I don't know, I think they're quite loose with a naming sometimes. I think that I'm not sure what the infrastructure is like. I think absolute dream, it would be a really interesting part of the world. I mean, you know what, I do think in terms of a country, I think having an Indian Grand Prix, having that back would be, I think there's a much bigger appetite for it now.
Yeah. I think it was the wrong time, wasn't it, to go there? That track specifically, or?
Yeah, Bud was all right. Maybe there's other options. I don't know.
In terms of the tracks as well that we missed from that, I miss Korea, man. Korea was a fun track.
Korea was like a cool place to have it. But again, I feel like I'd want to see it. if I want to see a Korean Grand Prix, I'd want to see it in like downtown Seoul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be like, because it was kind of, it was out in the docks, yeah, the Korean Grand Prix.
Nowhere, wasn't it?
And it didn't, it, you know what? Like, I really like when Grand Prix really kind of reflects the feel of their nation.
Yeah.
Like, really, I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like, what you mean. I don't know, when Silverstone's a bit rainy and drizzly in the middle of like...
Well, it's Britain.
Britain.
I'm saying, well, it's just July in you know, in the UK. I get what you mean, yeah, because obviously otherwise you just kind of end up with stale tracks or tracks that don't feel like they have a personality.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be like stereotypical, like everything is, you know, is what you expect from that country, but just a little bit of a vibe, yeah.
Icelandic Grand Prix.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Now, those are cold tyre temps.
They are.
In the bin.
They are.
Ice.
You're going to have to get the chains on the tyres.
Yeah.
Snow chains.
That would be wavy, though. If we just fully dedicate it to like, fuck it, lads, we're going to have one snow Grand Prix a year. We're just going like...
Look, we've got 24 races next year. What?
Yeah, that would actually be wavy.
I don't want all the races to... I want every race to feel unique
and
different.
There should be... This is a rabbit hole, though.
You know, this weekend's going to be a good test, right? Because if these cars can actually work in these really like much colder temperatures, then maybe there's a conversation to be had by, you know, the Finnish Grand Prix.
Mm.
You know, old Kimi and Valtteri's
neck
of the woods.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot
Mika
of drivers.
Mika Häkkinen finally finishes sabbatical.
Keke Rosberg.
Yeah.
Finland's F1 driver to population ratio is by far and away the greatest.
Yeah, it's
time.
Absolutely mental. Yeah, and in terms of titles as well.
Yeah, man,
it's unnecessary.
Clean it up,
really. They do it in rally as well. I just Finnish people are just sick of driving cars.
Hovelainen had
as
well.
Yeah, man, he was out here.
Think all these other, it's crazy.
Oh, I can't think of any others now. I'm not gonna lie to you. Bottas, Hovelainen, Raikkonen, Häkkinen.
There was Rosberg. There was someone else. Mika Salo.
Mika Salo. Was he finished?
I think he was.
Oh, go on.
I think Salo.
Fuck it, we'll say he is. If he's not, sorry.
All right, I'm looking in Icelandic Grand Prix.
Can I just say that opens up a whole new can of worms for like Joker Grand Prix?
Yeah.
Where like once or twice a year we just do something absolutely fucking mental. Like just like a snow, like full on December time. We're just ragsing it round snowbanks in Sweden or in Norway or something. Then fucking we're off in the middle of the Caribbean and we've got like fucking little water splashes here and there.
Yeah.
That we've got to drive through because beaches and that get me. We could do all sorts of stuff. We could really like make this wacky races. Just for two Grand Prix a year. I'm not saying take away the integrity for the whole season.
Yeah.
But just for two Grand Prix, we're doing something like stupid.
Stefano, I know you watch him.
Yeah, exactly. Come make it happen.
Give the man his juice.
Come on. We've got to indulge. What other stupid shit could we do? Driving around like live volcanoes and stuff.
Okay. I think Le Mans starts an interesting idea.
Fuck it.
That I'd like to see.
24-hour race as
little
well.
Sprint.
Not at Le Mans.
It's like a triathlon.
Sick. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Right, do a Le Mans start race somewhere. We're doing a triathlon race somewhere else. So they've got to run five laps. They got to swim somewhere. Probably not on the track, realistically.
Yeah.
And then they've got to get back in the car and do a sprint race.
But then you have to wear a weighted vest in reverse championship order, right? So Max Verstappen's carrying this massive load and Sergeant's sprinting.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets a big head start and then Max will catch him up.
He's got a DAV bag on his back.
Bruv, we fixed it. I'm sorry. People keep saying F1's broken. It wouldn't be if you put us in charge, would it?
Mate, honestly, we've been sat here brainstorming for 3 minutes.
We didn't even plan this. This is good. None of this is on the notes for this episode. And we're just... Listen, that's just
freestyling
talent. Well, look, back to the notes. We do have to put some early predictions in because we won't be podcasting until after the race, which will come out next Tuesday, about 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. This podcast will come out this Tuesday, 6 p.m. What are we thinking? What teams, drivers, who are you feeling, who are you not feeling?
One
this
prediction
weekend?
I have is that Will.i.am is going to end up being shown on the sphere. That's what I'm saying.
How is he not sponsoring Williams?
Like, that's actually crazy. Yeah. Someone at his PR team's got to fucking fix up because that's crazy.
You've got Alpine
Will
Palace.
Will.i.am's.
You've got all these mad collaborations going on at the minute. Why?
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah, clearly he's just not, just doesn't know about the formula. That, you know, maybe they don't have the formula. Maybe that's what it is.
This is not the formula.
It's just not the formula, pal.
Incorrect pH. I think, so what in terms of on track?
Right, on track.
Who's going quick? Who's going slow?
I'm distracted here.
Who's going into the...
I think it's honestly going to be another one of those kind of pretty unique Grand Prix in terms of like it changes up because of the temps and because of the conditions a little bit. It's also quite a different track. I mean, surely Williams are going to go well here. Straight lines for days.
That's the anticipation. The thing is, it's a while since we've had the Williams really like excel, like be at a track where it's really excelled in a straight line.
Mm.
Because the thing is, it's almost, I feel like the Williams is really good in a straight line around tracks that everyone is running either high or medium wings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it's like, when everyone's taking their wings off,
yeah,
they're not kind of exponential, they're not that much quicker than everyone else. It's just that they can still get a lot of straight line out of their car when you chuck more wing on. So yes, I think Williams should run well, but I'm not too crazy. I think it's, for me, it's more about who lights up their tyres quickly. McLaren do a good job. Red Bull struggle with that typically. Yeah. That's why qualifying, they're not so dominant.
Yeah.
So I think McLaren will be in a good place. And I think maybe, I think Haas will be rapid for the first five laps because they just burn their tyres immediately and then they'll fall off.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Haas could be leading.
Hülkenberg's going back to the old spec car.
Really?
Yeah.
They said they've just,
I got all gassed about their Austin upgrade and.
Yeah.
Classic Haas.
I will say nothing.
I think your boys.
They liked your tweet as well about me being blocked.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
So obviously, long-term viewers, listeners know that Niren is blocked by Haas.
Yeah. The hashtag Free Niren campaign.
A hashtag.
Nice like that. It didn't unfortunately work.
But we know now because they tweeted something. Funny, I can't remember. Yeah, it was to do with Lando and Nico coming together in Brazil.
Yeah.
And it was funny, I retweeted it and added you being like, Niren can't see this.
I can't see this, yeah. And they liked the content. They liked it. So they've acknowledged.
And they're still blocked.
I'm still blocked. Yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap, guys. But if we bring back the movement, then you never know. Maybe they could have a change of heart, you know. Christmas time coming up. Season of giving. Maybe they're feeling generous. You know,
maybe admin, maybe there'll be a, you know, change in the admin, social media admin department.
Yeah,
for
exactly. Haas. Maybe they'll have a
silly season for F1 team admins.
For team admins, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Here we go. Agreement reached. Oh, gosh,
well, the Tories are putting that, aren't they? So, God. Moving on. No, I think McLaren will be in, I think Lando will be in a good place this weekend.
Lando first Grand Prix win in Vegas just after his birthday. Who am I to say no?
Who are you to say no?
Who am I to say no? Absolutely. I'm here for it. I'm here for McLaren domination all day, every day. Haven't had that. Have I actually ever had that since I was born? No. There's never been McLaren domination since.
Oh, I thought you meant Lando domination since you were born. I'm like, you're older than him.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. That is, oh man,
he dominated fresh out of the
room. He was out there in the car in days.
Never has anyone been born so quickly as Lando Norris.
Extra point for fastest lap. Jesus Christ, this baby was born fast. Fucking hell. Straight out of there. Midwife.
Wow, there's a good sketch there.
Midwife Motorsport.
I could see like a David Mitchell sketch around that, like a peep show, like Mitchell. Classic styles.
Yeah,
Web classic.
For God's sake.
Sorry, I enjoyed that one a lot. But what I didn't enjoy last week was Mercedes' performances.
Yeah, man, they stink. I'm not going to lie. Jesus Christ. Toto Wolff's comments were hilarious, by the way. He was just like, this car does not deserve a win. I can't wait for these lot to not have to drive this shit box any longer. Everyone at the factory is working through Christmas and New Year's and Hanukkah and every holiday, Diwali. They're working through everything. Every single thing they're working through. What is it, 14 next?
It's 14 this year.
W15, sorry. W15 is going to be elite.
I saw a few people mention this and it's kind of a good point. I feel, because they're so used to being successful. It's like they don't know how to like. Like, imagine if Günther Steiner was like that every race that Haas stunk.
Yeah. This like, Haas doesn't deserve points. Like, we burned no shit. Our tires. Yeah, fucking, you made an ass car. Get on with it. It's what it is.
But like, it's like,
just go again next year.
So, there's a few times this year where it's like, you could tell that like, he's just lost his head. Yeah. And he's just like, he's just in absolute tatters. And it's like, yeah, you're still second in the constructors. You're still almost second in the drivers. Yeah, with yeah. I don't know. Look, I think, well, so apparently they've said that they now understand why they were poor in Brazil. Mm-hmm. It was, at the time they didn't, hence why they didn't just, you know, start both cars from the pit lane and just change it up because they were dropping like stones. Mm. I think they ran their car a bit too high because they were a bit scared of the skiddy,
yep.
Getting skiddies.
Getting skidder.
Yeah, which is not good in any sense. And they got disqualified, obviously, in Austin for that.
Yeah,
exactly. Did Lewis. So I think that was part of the issue. But, I mean, he described it as the worst weekend in his 13 years in Formula 1. This guy used to work at Williams.
Yeah.
I mean, they were actually all right when he was there, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, they were actually... That was like Massa Bottas days, wasn't it? Or was it? No, I'm waffling. It was before that.
Yeah, no, it was...
When was he at Williams?
Yeah, he was part of Williams before he went to Mercedes. And he joined Mercedes the same time Lewis joined.
Oh.
They joined at the same time.
Like...
So it'd been like 20... Well, Lewis's last season at McLaren was 2012.
12, yeah.
And then he joined in 2013. And had that one, yeah, season before then, the regs changed.
So Toto Wolff was working with Pastor Maldonado.
Yeah.
Man.
He was. Yeah.
Well, that was his worst weekend.
Yeah.
They were really bad then.
I think that might be a bit of recency bias.
Nah, all the Rosberg Hamilton days, no way. There's no way that was a worse day than Spain 20 whatever when they crashed into each other. It was 2016.
That was when Verstappen won the race, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, bruv, come on, man. But I mean,
Catgate.
that suggests to me that, I don't know, his comments don't inspire confidence.
Mm.
Look, Toto's not an engineer. His strength is elsewhere. His strength is running and trusting people.
Mm.
You know, I did a video about this. I looked at kind of you. Mike Elliott, he's now left. Allison's back in. They've had a lot of, you know, senior staff leave in kind of recent times. Blondin gone to Aston Martin and Vowles obviously to Williams and these big characters in that team. You know, I think that, I don't know, this weekend in Vegas, honestly, I haven't got a fucking clue where they're going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not particularly good in a straight line typically. So I'm not holding out too much hope.
I'm not massively hopeful.
But
because it's just them and Ferrari are just so inconsistent.
It's just painful, isn't it?
Just be anywhere at any given time.
And it's just like, it seems like, look, over the course of the year, Mercedes have been consistently like a third quickest.
Yeah.
They've not often been the second quickest car.
Yeah.
But they've consistently enough been about third quickest to be second in the constructors now.
Whoever's second is a lottery.
It's Ferrari or it's Aston Ferrari, or McLaren. Yeah,
exactly.
Then McLaren start the season at the back. So it's like, I'm not convinced they're going to be the ones to fight with Red Bull next year.
Mm, yeah.
Like how where do you sit on Mercedes competitiveness next season? Because I'm not convinced.
No, neither am I. I don't know. I just feel like their direction has had to change so much since the start of the regs that I just don't see them understanding their car enough currently to be able to build on it to be title challengers next season. I mean, they clearly don't because they didn't understand what was going on in Brazil until after the weekend. That's not helpful. You need to know as it's happening what's going on and how you improve it, how you stop falling through like a stone. Because they had the sprint race that literally was there as like a mini guide on how the actual race was going to go. And at no point during the weekend did they go, oh shit, man, we've actually worked this out. Like, let's do this. Or even if they started from the back, they'd probably ended up higher with Lewis than they would have done anyway if they just started from the back but actually had their normal pace.
That's the problem. They didn't know what to change.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they've evolved their, you know, their philosophy of the zero side pod, whatever, at the start of the regs.
Mm.
You can't, there's no way they're going to understand their car better than Red Bull do next season.
No. It's just
not possible.
But that's the problem I have, right? Because they're still running like a Frankenstein car. Like you can see from the way the side pods are and the jutty bits out where
things are just bolted
the mirrors are
here and there.
Yeah, because they didn't they need the side impact structure to be there, but also they've just had to kind of retrofit it because of the cost cap. And again, this is you know, people there's criticisms, valid criticisms around the cost cap, but I actually quite like the fact that you have to work with what you've got and you can't just spend your way out of a black hole, because then that keeps, you know, that gives the smaller teams a chance to at least be, well, the smaller teams are more competitive relative to the front than they've ever been, at least in qualifying.
It seems if they make a mistake, they pay for it rather than, well, paying for it rather than just spending their way out of the problem.
That was good. They pay for it in every sense.
Yeah.
Well, they could. They used to pay for it, but now they pay for it. Either way, like it's like Red Bull. Oh, who is it? Is it Andy McCulloch? I think he works for Red Bull. I can't remember his name. He's one of the senior guys at Red Bull, and he was saying, you know, there was a quote, and paraphrasing, it's like, we'd be silly to chuck this concept out the bin. Of course, like we're gonna. But we need to add pace. We need to develop. Of course, they do. Right? They've barely upgraded their car. They've got the fewest upgrades of any. Team this year, the fewest number of upgrades.
Mental.
Which is, that's scary. AlphaTauri have by far the most,
really.
Yeah, and only now are they.
Yeah, that always concerns me as well, though, because if you're still bringing massive upgrades like two races at the end of the season, it's like, well, how much effort have you put into, or how much thought have you put into next year in comparison to other teams that aren't upgrading?
I just think for too long they were just trying to do it themselves rather than just take what you get from.
Yeah, well, like, they got a suspension.
The advantage,
from, like, just Red Bull, didn't they? Just
the rear end. Yeah, they've got the rear. But
to be fair, though, like for a smaller team, it actually is worth upgrading till the end of the season because points are so much more valuable. Like AlphaTauri have just rocked up for the last two Grand Prix and just like slapped all the teams around them. If they get like decent points again in Vegas. Even just like an eighth place, they're like actually going to finish like seventh in the championship, having been bottom all year.
And the difference between seventh and bottom is about $35 million.
Exactly.
That would pay off Ricciardo twice.
Yeah. That would pay for seven of those Emperor tickets at the Vegas Grand Prix.
Oh my God, that was maths.
That's actually so depressing.
Seven, only seven.
You could see Adele seven times. or just make an entirely new, better Formula One car.
No, you get a 1 in 47 chance of seeing Adele six times. It's actually the trap.
So you're just not seeing Adele, either way.
I just, I think that, again, I think part of the issue, right? McLaren, even to less of an extent Aston Martin, but McLaren for sure, they have their, like Stella's talked about, you know, there's 50% of the upgrades that they want to bring that they can't with this chassis, but fundamentally they're on the path.
Yeah.
Mercedes are still not on that path.
Yeah.
Because
they're
still using the Frankenstein car.
Yeah.
So they've got to now develop the car to the new path and then understand it, as much as, you know, McLaren have been using this, you know, B-spec car essentially since Austria with Lando, and Red Bull have had it for since the start of 2022.
Yeah, literally.
I can't, like, I also think, you know, Mercedes are doing well this year, right? But we spent a lot of, you know, say we, the community, right? And there was so much talk at the start of this year, who's the strongest driver pairing in F1? And the amount of people who said Lewis and George, and understandably, and perhaps rightfully so, right?
Yeah.
I would argue as a team pairing, no, but individual talent, I think there's a strong argument.
I still don't have a problem with that argument.
Yeah. And what, some are they not just covering up the misgivings by being so good? Like, maybe they are actually driving, we'll never know. It's like the whole, you know, if you've got a backmarker car and you finish 14th, you could have had the greatest race of all time.
Yeah.
And no one will know. Yeah. Maybe they are actually flattering this Mercedes, and actually they're a lot further back, because remember when Mercedes were dominating, it wasn't because of their aero, it was because their engine.
Yeah, it's scary, it's concerning, really, if you're a Mercedes fan. I think for me, the only way Mercedes or Ferrari as well, I'm gonna slap them in this category,
chuck them in as well,
the only way they're challenging Red Bull next season is if they accidentally discover something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like where they're in the wind tunnel and they're going, hang on a second, run that backwards again. Just, and then just like by accident, someone's just switched it on the wrong way and just gone like, hold on a second.
Just put DAS on the car.
Hey,
don't tell anyone. Don't tell Joe Bauer.
That would be, I remember when that was a thing. That was sick.
That's a great little innovation.
Did they ban it?
They let them have it till the end of the year and then they...
Fuming. That's what F1 should be about. Innovation. If you... I'm here for it. Bring it back. If you can find a way to bend the rules even slightly and get performance out of him, here for it.
That would have been perfect at a race like Vegas as well, having something like that. Because that was all about heating up the tyres and getting him to the right operating window. They would have been cooking.
That was cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't have much faith in Mercedes, honestly. Again, just because, they're not on that path. They don't fully understand their car now. They're not going to understand their car better than say, a Red Bull next season.
I just think there's way more compelling arguments for... McLaren.
I'm here for McLaren. I'm really here. I know the bias is coming through, but I'm really here for that. McLaren going toe-to-toe with Red Bull next season would be delightful. And then slap just Ferrari and Mercedes turn up half the time as well, and we're golden.
Stella's cooking. Stella is cooking for
Stella
sure.
Stella do be cooking.
Well, outside of that, another thing I wanted to touch on, a certain Braun documentary. And there's also, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. There's Braun documentary, which is... just come out, I believe. I haven't watched it yet.
We'll do a review.
We'll have to watch that and fully review. But there's also the Netflix golf competition that's going on tonight, because this podcast is coming out today. We're filming on the Tuesday today.
Yeah.
I think it's like 11 p.m. UK time.
Nice.
Start with the Braun doc. I was about to say, I was about to use Drive to Survive as a documentary, but I think that's a bit of a controversial way of describing Drive to Survive.
As entertainment.
What are your thoughts on the Braun story? Because I want to just start this off by saying, I don't think it's anywhere near as magical as it's made out to be.
Really? Do you not think?
Honda spent millions and millions and millions on developing that car.
Yeah.
Ross Braun saved the team from going under.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, when Haas rocked up in 2016 and were in the points, like first race.
Yeah.
And they were using old bits from Marussia, who were a backmarker.
Yeah.
To me, that was more impressive than Braun 2009. Like, obviously, Ross came in and saved loads of people's jobs. Incredible, right? And kept the team going and managed to get sponsors in over the course of the year to bankroll it, but they couldn't upgrade the car. But like, it's not... I want to see the... I've not seen the doc, right? But it's not... I don't get that proper, like... I don't know. I just feel like it's not fully, like...
So you know what it is?
It's a bit dramatised for me.
It probably is a little bit. Story. I think the magic...
Sell me the magic.
To be honest, I didn't actually know that Honda had put like quite that much money into developing the car.
Oh yeah, they fully sent it.
Yeah, because I remember people joking about it. Like, if you just stayed, you would have just won the championship.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like,
literally.
So stupid. But obviously, like, I think some of the magic again comes from the fact that the jobs were saved. They just wouldn't have been on the grid.
Which I get that.
Been for like one guy saving them, whatever. One young Ross Braun. And I think also that season was mental, and it just flipped completely upside down. You got Ferrari and McLaren struggling at the back at the start of the season and throughout at times. And you've suddenly got Braun at the front. You've got the likes of Red Bull at the front, who had been like perennial mid-table teams up until that point, realistically. And I think it's the story of the whole season. And also, I think the drivers as well. You know, Jenson Button had never really had a chance at winning a championship. He'd never been in a car that was worthy of winning multiple races, whatever. And suddenly he was able to actually like show off his ability in a car that could win things. And also, you know, I know they had the money at the start. They had a very good car, obviously, at the start of the season, but they weren't able to develop whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like, obviously, everyone else was catching them up as the season went on. So it did still have that vibe of like, okay, right, cool. The base product we have here is good. But everything else, we're fucking hobnobbing together. You know, we've probably not got the staff that we should have. We're not able to build parts to make the car better. You know, we're being chased down from behind. We've got two drivers who are getting towards the end of their careers who have never really properly fought for a title, because Rubens Barrichello was always just under Michael Schumacher's thumb. And I think that sort of coming together with, again, Ross Braun saving the jobs of so many people, the fact that we'd have just completely lost a team that then even became Mercedes as well.
Well, quite easily that car would never have realised its potential.
Yeah,
well, the team would have just gone under.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, it would just never have made it onto the grid. So I think that's where, rather than like, oh yeah, the car, obviously the car was sick.
Yeah.
And obviously the car had loads of money pumped into it because it blew everyone out of the water at the start.
Yeah,
It's more the magic of the overall season.
Yeah, I get that.
Team was saved and Jensen Button.
But I think my issue is...
But you're right, yeah. It's not like a rags to riches story.
No.
Like they had £6.50 in the bank account and made like the greatest car of all time.
Like I see almost like an attempt. I feel like I'm seeing an attempt to label this as like this brand new team.
Yeah.
But it's not a brand new team.
No, it wasn't.
The team was well established. It'd been around
just
for years.
Name and identity.
Yeah. Which happens like quite often. That would be like, you know, when Lawrence Stroll bought Force India, that was going to go under, and he bought that, and you know, for discounted rate and whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I look, don't get me wrong. Like, I still remember that season well. Like, that was, you know, I would have been 16.
Yeah. To be fair, for what it's worth, as well, the Honda of the year before was fucking awful.
Oh god, yeah.
So it's still like
I fully tanked that season into the mountain.
Yeah, yeah, but. Yeah. It is still like a surprise in terms of like they managed to, you know, develop what was a shocking car at the end of a regs change into a new regs change being like so dominant. It's like, I mean, what's the equivalent now?
Yeah. What would be, well, the
equivalent, obviously you got the cost cap now, so it's not like you're going to just pump loads of money into it, but I guess it is the equivalent of like Williams or like Alfa Romeo just turning up next season and being like fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
In terms of like performance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Like in terms of a jump. I mean, that kind of jump can only really happen in a new set of regulations,
yeah,
can't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because obviously like the Honda engineers had, you know, caught onto something,
mm-hmm,
and were like, okay, like, and then obviously it turned up at like pre-season testing, mm-hmm, and well, obviously this is after Ross Brawn had then saved the team and they were like a second and a half faster. So obviously they had their, you know, the double diffuser, which then everyone eventually kind of copied. Yeah. So you need that. Yeah, it requires that kind of innovation. It would have been like as if maybe an Alpine like started 2022 as like by far the fastest car.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I guess
yeah.
That would be like an equivalent.
Yeah.
But then also it was called
Gasly.
Ryan Reynolds F1 team.
Yeah, 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 facts.
Dead because it had been bought from Renault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be the most Renault thing ever, by the way, if they did actually. That they are like Honda now. They are 1,000,000% whenever they sell that team, it's going to win the championship the next. I'm telling you right now. And no one will ever buy an Alpine car for the road, ever.
I like the A110, but they make one car. They keep teasing, we're going to make new cars soon. It's like, when is soon? Like, just give them to us now.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Alpine Palace stuff, by the way?
No, I haven't. I like Palace as a brand.
I like Palace. I'm not convinced by the collection.
All right. Well,
I'll be honest.
I'll have a gander.
Yeah, there's a nice like blue t-shirt that's quite simple. Mm. And they've got the Kappa in like pink and all that. But yeah, and those kind of, I'm not surprised Alpine are doing that kind of stuff because they've got all this celebrity endorsement. So they're going to, you know, going to push the hype stuff. But
makes sense.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing the Brawn Dock for sure. But yeah. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how they paint the picture because I know from like the teasers I've seen, it's like, you know, you've got other team principal like Christian Horner's on there being like, we thought they were kind of maybe, the word cheat gets thrown around a lot. That actually pisses me off about F1. Like people always just like cheat, cheat, cheat. Like,
oh, so bitter.
The point is you got to go close to the sun. Everyone's got to try and take, and if you slightly overstep, you don't just go cheat, you know, well,
yeah. It's not like in other like athletic sports where it's like, oh yeah, he's doing PEDs, cheating. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not the same in Formula One. If you just come up with something innovative, you're not cheating, bruv.
You're pushing the limits.
Yeah, you're just pushing the limits or you just did something clever.
Yeah, no, for sure. But
ridiculous.
Also, the golfing thing, Netflix Cup. Mm. So obviously you've got Drive to Survive and Full Swing.
Yeah,
two very similar, again, documentaries. One Formula One, one golf. So they've got a few together. Yeah. Your boy Lando is going to be playing with Ricky Fowler.
Indeed so. a good golfist.
Yeah.
He's Lando.
He is. Alex Albon as well. He's playing with...
A good golfist.
Homer. I can't remember his first name.
Simpson.
Not quite. I hope for Alex it's not Homer Simpson. Yeah. You've got Pierre's involved as well. Mm-hmm. And Carlos.
I can't imagine Pierre Gasly playing golf for some reason.
Yeah.
Sure he does, obviously.
Sergio plays golf as well. Really? I bet he was gutted to not be included. Yeah. He's like, only got four.
Yeah, he needs to stop bidding it then.
Predictions. What predict him as a golf... As a fountain of golf knowledge, Niren.
I honestly, I don't think there's a sport that I know less about than golf, genuinely.
I've just got back, actually, after Vegas, after live stream, I'm going to be playing some golf.
Is it?
Yeah. So I'm going to be getting up at half three and be playing golf at half ten. Flipping. Hopefully the race isn't red flag loads, otherwise I'll miss it.
But. Yeah, yeah, hopefully not.
Well, I think, so you've got Lando versus Carlos in the first semi-final.
Oh, Carlando.
Yeah. Really, got to make sure them two play each other.
Yeah, yeah, kind of has to, just for the content, really.
I think Carlos has been playing it longer than that.
Carlos was also in a competition, I'm pretty sure.
He did the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he did the Ryder Cup. That was in that, wasn't it? Yeah, Gareth Bale was doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so Carlos was in that. I back my boy.
You got to back your boy.
There's absolutely no golf knowledge being provided there. It's just my boy.
So I'm going Carlos Sainz. He's been posting some thirst traps of him playing topless as well. So he's ready.
Standard science.
He's ready. Behavior. Exactly. And then Albon Gasly. I think them two are a little bit less experienced than Lando and Carlos.
Yeah.
But I mean, Alex's missus is a professional golfer.
Well, then it's got to be Alex then. He's had professional training. Plus, he's your boy.
Yeah, they're putting the old Toro Rosso boys against each other.
Plus, I don't know if I've ever seen a French person play golf before.
Oui, oui. I'm trying to think of one French golfer, to be fair. my golf knowledge is not that good that I know French golfers. Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how that goes, though. I've never watched anything live on Netflix.
Yeah, I've never. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously makes
sense. I think they're starting to get into that
kind of stuff.
Finally, got another little topic we wanted to cover off here. We're coming to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of drivers in seats. We've had 22 drivers in 20 seats this year.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Niro, I want to assemble a little dream F1 grid.
Avengers assemble.
Little assembly. So you can pick drivers from any generation.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I can just pick my favourites and we'll just slap them all in a grid together.
And I want you to pick what car that they go in.
They go in.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
So let's... I think let's start with teams.
Teams.
So who would you like to see in the... Let's not sugarcoat it. Haas are the worst team right now, I think. Who would you want to see in the Haas in a Niren all-timer dream?
Do they have to have driven for Haas?
No.
Okay. Oh, sick. Oh, no, I could be
anyone.
I can freestyle it.
Yeah. Any driver. You can put whoever you like in the Haas. Who do you want to see struggling at the back? But maybe if it's a really good driver and they can... Maybe you put the better drivers in the worst cars and...
Yeah, to keep things... Nah, just for the sake of continuity, I'm going to try and... You know, we'll match drivers to teams.
Okay.
It's like how teams are doing right now. I'm going to save some spots for Williams. So instead, we're going to use Nicholas Latifi and slap him in a hat. We're going to have a little Pan-Am Canadian-American combination. Purely, and I say purely, well, purely. Because Latifi has to be on this grid for entertainment purposes.
Okay,
again,
fine.
Definitely, well, no, allegedly a paid actor, and I'm alleging that, of Formula One. So he has to be on the grid again to provide entertainment, incidents, and drama.
Yeah.
And I also need to see Gunther Steiner and him react.
Yeah. Nice.
Based on the amount of
crashes. I like that.
Now, who else is a crash-happy Formula One driver? Again, I'm just thinking about interactions here.
Pastor,
oh wow, yeah, safe, cool. That's the dream. Latifi and Maldonado, are you mad? That's chaos. That is chaos. They're not making it past turn one 50% of the time.
It's too good. That would be
because the thing about Pastor Maldonado is he was low key actually good. Like there was a good driver in there until he lost all of his confidence completely.
Yeah,
went to Lotus.
Yeah.
Where there was the occasional like when Williams, because he was like. When Williams brought that all right car in 2012, just randomly, he won obviously in Spain. Mm. And there was like multiple opportunities or multiple times where he was battling with like Lewis.
Well, when they scrapped in Valencia.
Yeah, they obviously collided, shock.
But he was scrapping with Lewis Hamilton in the
McLaren. Exactly, yeah. There's raw pace in there. So I think that would actually be quite an interesting dynamic. So I think Latifi and Maldonado at Haas.
All right, Haas, we'll do that. We'll do a little joint. Right. Alfa Romeo. Who's going in the Alfa Romeo? I'll pick first on this one. You can pick the second driver on each team. So Sauber is going to be going back to Sauber next year. So I want to focus more on that team, that energy.
Mm.
I would like to see, I'd like to bring a driver back that's been at Sauber before.
Mm.
And a driver who started their career, Fernando started his career at Minardi, didn't he?
Mm.
Sauber have had many a good driver over the years. Maybe I'll just go for it and just pluck some crazy name. No, you know what? In a Sauber, I'm going to put Niki Lauda.
Niki Lauda in a Sauber?
Niki Lauda in a Sauber.
Well, by the way.
That is a bar. He's Austrian.
Okay, yeah, nice, yeah.
They're Swiss.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Close. Yeah. Same colours in their flags.
Same colours, yeah. Similar places in the world.
Iconic driver.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, one of, underrated, yep, for sure, yeah, as well, facts, for facts. Sure. You look at what he went through to come back after his crash at the Nürburgring. That takes him, in terms of mentality monster.
Yeah, facts.
Niki Lauda, for sure. Prime Lauda, I'm putting in one of those Saubers. And they will be better next year. I read an article this morning that they're going to bring a new car in 2024. I was like, thank fuck for that.
Yeah.
Because they can't lose this shit heap again.
They need to, man. It's fucking awful right now. Oh, so who goes in the second?
These are three drivers I'd never have thought if we were going to put as the first three of 20.
Should we keep the storylines going?
Go on, do it.
Should we keep the storylines
going? Do it.
Now, I was quoted on this show as saying that Formula One media or motorsport media is pretty bad. Apart from one thing, and that was Rush. James Hunt.
Hunt Lauda in Sauber.
Slap him in the other car,
Hunt,
mate.
Hunt Lauda in a Sauber. I love that.
That's gold right there. But we need them to become better. We need the team to pull their weight. That's a slow burner because the team's going to have to become good.
And they all need to work together as well.
Exactly. To improve the car.
Okay, I like that. AlphaTauri.
Realistically.
Minardi.
It's kind of
Minardi, remember?
Yeah, we could either do, it's the Minardi vibe, or we could do like, we'll just get some Red Bull Juniors back that we liked. All Red Bull drivers.
Jaime Alguersuari. Yes.
Get him in.
Get him in. Jaime Alguersuari.
Red Bull drivers maybe that we won't pick elsewhere can go here. Okay. Maybe. So that kind of actually limits the amount. There's only really like Vettel, Verstappen.
Mm.
You can maybe slap David Coulthard in one of them or something.
I think Alguersuari would have been, he's like same age as like Perez. And
do you want to slap Jaime? I know you want to
put,
okay, fine.
He's in.
All right, Alguersuari can this is such a stupid list so far. Checo and the other one.
Mark Webber.
So you can just say his name stupidly.
Sebastian Bourdais.
No. No, we're not doing that. Daniel Ricciardo.
He's literally there now. Leave him in there.
Yeah. Should we just leave him in?
Doesn't need to do a seat fit.
All right, cool. That's
fine. I'm happy with that. Williams. Go on, you go first.
Williams. This is actually quite hard off the top of my head. You know what, actually, there is one. There's a story of unfulfilled potential. A man that actually drove for Williams at one point.
Mm-hmm.
A man that really, really, honestly should have had a sensational career had it not been for injury. And I would love to restore him back to that point before the injury and see what he could do, even though it's not in a great car here. But hopefully Williams improve, and hopefully we would see Robert Kubica. What a man. What a geezer.
Yes, that's a great shout.
I'm slapping him in there.
Alongside the moustache. It's Movember this month as well. Yeah. Nigel Mansell, bring him back.
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Nigel Mansell. These teams are mental. These are absolutely mad.
Right, Alpine.
We're going to get to the end, by the way, and realise we've just missed out on loads of sick names we put Alguersuari and Maldonado in. But yeah, carry on.
Alpine. I hope along at home you're doing it as well, right? Yeah. This is your own grid. There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
Who's in the Alpine? The Renault used to be Lotus. It's been through many different names over the years.
I was
going to
say we could keep French connection, but like, there's not actually a crazy amount of Alain Prost. Actually, probably makes a decent amount of sense. Or do you want to keep him for a better team?
No, I'm happy with putting Prost in the
Alpine. Yeah. He can lead Alpine to glory. Yeah. Hopefully.
Okay.
So we can slap him in there. Who else is going in?
Okay, so I'm trying to think of a driver that matches Alpine's energy. The Renault kind of what could have been, but not. And I'm thinking maybe Juan Pablo Montoya.
Oh, yes. Boom. Montoya was all action. This grid is carnage, by the way. There's a lap one catastrophe every single lap. Every single race, sorry, every time.
I want someone to like recreate this in the F1 game using like a modded version.
Yeah.
And then play through the championship and see what happens.
Yeah. That would be chaos. All right, cool. That's a good one. Who's next?
Aston Martin.
Yeah.
So again, these used to be Racing Point, Force India, Spyker, Midland, everything.
Jordan. Yeah, the whole gang.
That's the Jordan days. What are you thinking?
I think we need to start drawing for some more classics again. Mm-hmm. We're running out of teams.
Yeah.
Don't want to miss out on some big names. Who could go here realistically? I'm just thinking of champions as well, to be honest with you.
I think I would like to suggest Jim Clark.
Oh, old school British.
Lotus like was Aston green.
Martin, yeah.
He always drove for Lotus. Green car, British marquee.
Yeah.
Jim Clark.
That's good. That's good from you. Slap it. Slap it down.
Slapped.
Have you got anyone else to put in there? Another Brit maybe, or?
Yeah, I don't know who fits the Aston Martin kind of aesthetic, the style.
Johnny.
Maybe a Jackie Stewart.
Yeah, I was thinking Jackie Stewart, to be fair.
Clark and Stewart in the Aston. Stewart.
That's a British classic, that is, mate.
Let's do that.
Make it happen.
That would do.
Boom. All right, cool. Next up.
Ferrari.
There's one man that has to go in here.
Go on.
Michael Schumacher.
Has to be.
There's no way not to. There's no way that we couldn't slap Michael in a Ferrari.
Who else?
So who's his teammate?
Do we go chaotic and put Lewis Hamilton in? Imagine
you can reply to the comments, mate. You can reply to the comments. To be fair, there's a lot of options for McLaren, so you might want to do something stupid.
True. Okay, so Ferrari, definitely Schumacher.
Yeah.
Maybe like a Fangio.
Or do you want to put Fernando Alonso in there?
Oh,
Michael Schumacher and Fernando Alonso would be absolutely mad.
Nah, that's it. That's it. Right, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Alonso Schumacher
is nuts.
Yeah, that's exceptional.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh my God, that would have been so cool. Reigniting that 05-06 battle.
In a Ferrari.
Oh.
Even better. Oof. Even more care.
That's crazy. All right. We've cooked with that one. I'm not going to lie. We've really cooked.
Well, Mercedes, I want to put Fangio in there.
Okay. That's
cool. Because he needs to be represented.
He does.
As
do you want to leave Lewis in there? Because again, there are options. Or do you want to
I've got a different idea.
I have a concept for McLaren. Right, we might have the same concept. Okay. We might be chefing the same thing there.
Okay.
For Mercedes, maybe Mika Hakkinen.
I was literally going to say that.
Oh, we're cooking. Right. We're cooking.
It's got to be Fangio, Hakkinen.
Fangio and Hakkinen. There's titles for days on this grid, by the way. There's about 58 world titles on this grid as we're speaking. So we go to McLaren next.
And then there's Latifi and Maldonado.
They're for entertainment at the back.
Okay. McLaren.
Right.
Sell me the dream. If it's the same dream. Let me write down what I think you think it is.
Okay. Because to me, we're building storylines here, ladies and gentlemen. Right. That's what this is all about. We're building stories. We got Hunt v. Lauda.
So
at the back
can
of
we
grid,
right? Camera on me, please. I won't look. Producer Lewis, let's get this.
I'm not looking.
Nah, I don't think you can see what I've written.
Audio
on
only. He's showing his phone to the camera.
Okay,
he's written it down.
What is your dream McLaren lineup
now? The McLaren dream lineup. All right, we've mentioned it. We've uttered his name already so far. A man who was a boy, but a boy when McLaren picked him up back in the day in the 90s. Sir Lewis Hamilton, a seven-time world champion, a man that joined them so young and has gone on to do unbelievable things in the sport, but he had an inspiration as a young child. There was only one driver that he wanted to be like, and there's only one place other than Britain where he's heralded as one of their own, and that's in Brazil. And the driver that he used to adore when he was young, Ayrton Senna. That's the dream. Ayrton Senna, Lewis Hamilton, McLaren combination. Marlboro white and red livery. Boom.
The dream is real.
Yeah, the dream. Come on.
The dream is real.
That is the dream. Oh,
Senna Hamilton.
Man, yo, this is McLaren. Sick. We've regenerated Formula One here. This is nuts.
This has been too fun.
Which, of course, leaves us with Red Bull.
Leaves us with Red Bull Racing. So, obviously, Vettel, Verstappen, Red Bull's two most iconic drivers.
Decorated.
Trying to think if there's anyone else.
Mark Webber.
That we've not
Mark Webber.
That we've not mentioned that potentially deserves a seat at that table.
Don't forget as well, Red Bull used to be Jaguar. You know, so Christian Kleen's in there. Fucking Johnny Herbert's in there as well.
Yes.
There's
up the Johnny.
There's up. Oh, that's crazy. Can't say up the Johnny, mate. That's mental.
I think Verstappen Vettel.
It has to be VV, doesn't it? Yeah, I think that as well just like closes off the book, I think, of like.
Mm.
I mean, we're doing this off the domes. We've definitely forgotten like a double champion somewhere and replaced him with Jaime Alguersuari or some shit. Yeah, but I think in terms of closing off, certainly recent, you know, like powerhouses of the sport.
Hamilton, Verstappen, Vettel, Senna, Prost.
Alonso. Yeah.
Fangio, Schumacher. Clark, Stewart.
I think we've got all the greats there.
The big hitters. Even
Hakkinen's in there as well. I think we've done a job.
Bosh.
George Russell as backup Mercedes driver. No, wherever Hamilton was. No, yeah, backup McLaren driver. Just scrapping.
Reserve.
Yeah, reserve.
He's reserve. Yeah, yeah, he's only doing testing. Sorry, George. Oh, sweet. That was fun.
That is sensational. Let us know what you would have changed as well down in the comment section.
Absolutely.
Any teams that you believe we've done wrong, let us know. And build your own down there too. We want to hear them.
Vegas Grand Prix weekend, baby.
Oh,
it's coming.
Quick prediction, race winner?
Lando Norris.
Same. Fuck it.
Fuck British bias.
Rule Brit. No.
Quadrant bias.
Absolutely.
Gotta be. Send it. I think this is a great opportunity for him.
I think this is it. McLaren will, yeah, like you said, McLaren will turn their tyres on and they're going to have good pace around here. Birthday recently. First win in Vegas.
It's happening.
If that happens, I'm flying to Vegas, by the way. Mid-show. I'll be out of there. I'll British Airways flight immediate.
11 hours later.
Yeah.
Everyone's already got home.
Yeah, I'll miss all the rain.
You'll miss the part. Everyone's packed up and got home. Everyone's flying the other way.
Everyone, hold on a second, lads. I'm on the way. Hell. Save a Jaeger bomb.
Don't forget to drop a like on the podcast if you're watching on YouTube. 5-star on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else listen to your podos, and we will see you for the last lap live on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
6 a.m. 5:30 a.m. sorry, yeah, UK early time for a 6 a.m. lights out.
Yeah,
and then 6 p.m. on next Tuesday for the post-race pod.
Indeed, so we'll see you then, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good one. Enjoy Vegas.